The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate you taking us in however you're taking us in this morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. What's happening?
Not much, man. Not much. There's like a rogue walkie-talkie going on behind us right now. That's really distracting.
We were just breaking down the essence of that name. Yeah. So that stuck. What do you call that device? Walkie-talkie. So great.
One of my favorite stand-ups ever is the Brian Regan stand-up on the walkie-talkie. You just watch the two-minute YouTube right now. It's hilarious.
So great. All right. This is such a great time of year as the run-up to the NFL draft is coming. We will talk to we'll talk to Frank Schwab about that. I have added a bet this morning. We'll get to that momentarily. We'll talk to Frank Schwab from Yahoo about the NFL draft. Jason Weingart will be here to talk all of his bets. Nick Whalen on the NBA playoffs, which after the two elimination games tonight begins in earnest tomorrow. Paul Carr in the Premier League. How about some UFL with Stormy Bonatoni?
Yeah.
We're covering it all today. Stormy on the table? Is she calling on Skype?
Okay. Yeah, on Skype.
She's calling on Skype. Okay. We'll do all of that. We'll update the Guardians bet as well. We have to start with the NFL draft movement that happened this really overnight regarding the number two pick in the draft. And this involves my boyhood team, the Washington Commodores. Jaden Daniels, at one point yesterday, the Jaden Daniels, Drake May, who will be the second pick in the draft market, who will be the number two pick in the draft, was minus 115 on each side.
Yeah.
Got to that.
Saw that here at Circa. I think I saw someone tweet out minus 110 each way over at DraftKings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it got exciting last night.
Well, I didn't think I was going to make any more bets in this NFL draft after my flurry earlier in the week, but guess what? I just bet Jaden Daniels minus 125 at Caesars this morning to go number two. Why the steam? Let's start there. Some are speculating that it's because Daniel Jeremiah said something specifically that he's personally leaning towards the Commanders drafting North Carolina quarterback Drake May over Daniels. So maybe that was the movement. I think it's more perhaps what I was talking about earlier this week about Jaden Daniels' agent liking a couple tweets, one from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, the other from just someone chiming in on that one a little more harshly about how Adam Peters and the Taco Holders brought in four quarterbacks all at once, amongst a group of 20, by the way. But besides Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, they brought in the other four remaining quarterbacks that are speculated to perhaps go in the first round at the same time. And Florio didn't like that. And Jaden Daniels' agent liked the tweet about that, you know, criticizing it. He also then, it was also reported then that Jaden Daniels met with the Vikings thereafter as well. So I think if you put all those three things in, mm-hmm. including the Jeremiah comment, because people do pay attention, as we had Vegas Refund, Luke Swain on yesterday, he reported back about the Jeremiah news conference. People obviously pay attention to what Jeremiah has to say. He's like the E.F. Hutton of the NFL draft. And so put all that in the mix, and it moved dramatically because Jaden Daniels was over a $2 favorite to have gone number two. And then all of a sudden, here we are near a pick'em, even though Daniels is just a tick of a favorite now. And Kelly, I feel like in all this discussion about this, because people are speculating, because what are people looking for? The mainstream media guys like Peter Schrager, like Adam Schefter, they're all using the language of my intel says, or the signs that I'm hearing around the league that I'm picking up on is that Washington is going with Jaden Daniels. So the mainstream guys are still using that kind of vague language. And I'm hearing folks this morning saying, you know, they're not sure what's going to happen. I feel like in all the discussion on this, that one major point is being left out. And that is a human one more than a football one, which is that if you're Adam Peters, and I get it, you have no history with this franchise and you have a new owner and supposedly you have carte blanche to pick whoever you want at number two. But a human characteristic is that as much as you want to do something that succeeds, you are equally, if not more, motivated by not doing something that will be a failure and the repercussions that come with that failure. Now, that's not to say that no matter who you pick at number two, if it fails, you're not going to have repercussions. But I am here to sort of offer this as my take on it, which is I think in the end, Adam Peters is either tacitly or verbally, but I'm going to say it's going to be unspoken. I think it's going to be tacitly. He is going to make the calculus that if I pick Drake May and that fails, and or Jaden Daniels becomes this great player for another team, that the repercussions of that for him personally starting out as the new GM of the Washington football team is going to be that much worse than if he picks Drake May and that happens to fail over time. That if he picks Jaden Daniels and that happens to fail over time. Because I think with the if you pick Jaden Daniels and that fails, you can still fall back on, well, he won the Heisman, he's multidimensional, played for a bigger program. I think there's ways to talk yourself through that and overcome that more cleanly than you could if you took a little bit more of, dare I say, a reach, let's put that in relative terms, on a guy like Drake May. Not to mention that even though Adam Peters doesn't have history with this franchise, that he has to be well aware of the muscle memory of that fan base, which is, well, when we last had the number two pick and picked a quarterback, a gentleman by the name of Robert Griffin III was outstanding, was the rookie of the year, and until he got hurt was everything you could have possibly imagined him to be. And the flip side of that is the last North Carolina quarterback that they drafted just a couple years ago. Well, let's just say Sam Howell wasn't exactly in the Hall of Fame. So I just want to I put all that in the mix for me, and I think the motivation of that fear and that precipitous drop of credibility, if it goes wrong, if you pick May and it goes badly, I think that's as much of a motivating factor in all this than anything. I think Washington is going to take Jaden Daniels, and I bet it this morning at -125.
I'd hate to think that if I just hired a new GM, that's their attitude, but you know it's got to be in the back of their head a little bit, right?
We're all human.
I think the big one with that, like the way I would almost spin it is because I think we've seen this more recently with guys like Justin Fields. Jaden Daniels' legs are going to be a weapon enough that his rookie season, even if the throwing doesn't develop right away, it buys you more time as a GM, right? Like, I think that's the whole Justin Fields thing. Once we saw him running the ball, you're like, whoa, okay, he can get it done on the ground. Let's give him a little time for his arm to develop. And I think Daniels bails you out a little bit more in that sense than what Drake May does, right? Because Drake May isn't amazing right off the bat. I think you're immediately going to get a lot of those questions of, oh, what did we do here? When Daniels, I think, gives you a little bit more time to allow him to develop. I think it's really interesting. I think with all this stuff, yeah, everything you just brought up, I mean, I've kind of been, you know, thinking it's Daniels number two all along. I don't really think that there's any of that.
I wasn't going to bet this, but now the market moved in a way where I'm like, I got to bet this.
Well, and, you know, I've, how many times have I brought up? I'm like, it's -270 now. It's -300 now.
Right.
I think I'm going to be joining you on this bet today because I think we just listed everything that's a factor here. None of that's big enough to really take me away from the bet.
Well, one more, and this piggybacks what you're saying is, this is not a horrible offense. This is an offense that has the incomparable Terry McLaurin as your wide receiver one. Jahan Dotson, De'Ami Brown, you have wideouts.
Yep.
You also have now in a backfield, and I know people say, oh, Austin Ekeler, you overpaid for a third down back. Well, maybe you did, but you still have him. And you have Brian Robinson as your workhorse. So you have pieces, and you say, oh, but your offensive line stinks. Yeah, but this team has the 36th and the 40th pick in the draft as well, which they, even if they stay there, they draft an offensive tackle. But you could package those two and trade up for an offensive tackle as well, the one that you like the best in the late part of the first round, because that has contract implications. So you have it set up where if your rookie quarterback is actually good, I'm not going to say top 10, but if it's like top half of league good, you're a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then you have the prospect. What do we always say? You can only win a Super Bowl if you have a quarterback that overperforms on a rookie quarterback or is a Hall of Famer. Then in these subsequent years, because they're not a Super Bowl contender, they're a playoff contender, they're not a Super Bowl contender. But you could also then get your mind into, yeah, but in 2 or 3 years, if he's really good, maybe we are that. So I just don't. I don't get the Drake May movement at all. Don't get it.
I don't get that it's.
I get it literally by what I said at the beginning of this. Yeah. I understand why it is, but I don't. Let's put it this way.
To the level. Right.
It doesn't take a whole bunch to move NFL draft markets. But let's just put it this way. You've moved it enough now where I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I was surprised by how much it moved. That was really mine. And the third overall pick odds now. this is a crapshoot, right? I mean, we're sitting here less than 6 days away from the draft, and you're talking even money on Drake May, plus 115 on Daniels, and plus 275 on McCarthy, and I got no idea.
Well, also with the Patriots, there's some speculation, and I don't know this to be the case, but it's, you know, speculation like all speculation is, that if Daniels is the guy they really want, and they're not as high on Drake May.
Right.
Do they trade out of there because they have an early second round pick?
I think they're
I want to say it's 34. They have 34. So they may very well be thinking to themselves, well, if we like Bo Nix kind of more than everybody else, maybe we can just get a quarterback at 34. So I don't know. You're right. It's a domino effect no matter what happens here.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying it all week, but I think 3, 4, 5, they are all major trade candidates. And that's why you're seeing some of the McCarthy odds like that, right? Because that's the expectation, is that they're going to be able, Vikings going to be able to trade up somewhere in that range.
Just when I thought I was out, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be joining you. I kind of want to see how the market reacts today during the full day with that market.
Well, after that soliloquy just now, expect it to spike. We'll start things with the Premier League and Paul Carr next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, sir.
Well, we got some nuggets from Matt Youmans' mock draft in there. We got predictions and picks for the NBA play-in games tonight. Playoff series splits, way more.
Ah, I love it. What a time of year. Bill's late nights becomes your mornings. Visa.com/newsletter to subscribe. Youmans' mock draft is 1.0. Does that mean that he has a 2.0 prior to the draft? I think
he usually does a few versions. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A few. He does more than a 2.0?
I don't know, man. You're testing my memory here.
Sorry. Apologies.
I could have definitely told you in the past he's done multiple editions. I don't know how many.
Again, another conversation we probably should have had off air before we had it on air. Kelly, after the show, we'll do a review. We'll be like, what conversations should we have perhaps waited for? Ladies and gentlemen, Premier League, while all this other stuff is going on, the NBA in full force, the NHL playoffs in full force. Oh, by the way, I have a tennis pick as well. Can I get a tennis pick real quick?
Sure.
We hit Pedro Martinez overnight. If you want some tennis action during the show this morning, I only have one pick, and that has not gone off yet, is Jan Lennard Struff, the German, is taking on Felix Auger-Aliassime. But I want to see if that price got away from us. Now, see, another thing that I probably should have checked beforehand, because the price I got on Struff last night was plus 112. And right now, Struff is at boop, 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 boop. He is at minus 117.
Sorry, usually I help you out here, but I'm in minute like 5 of making my own bet.
No, no, please go ahead. I wouldn't play Struff over minus 110. If you can find an out that has him at minus 110, I would play Struff at that point. But again, CLV, what Lord knows what that's got us in the past.
Oh, yeah. And as usual, I'm always glad to hear that Pedro Martinez has continued his tennis career.
He's old, but apparently his tennis game on clay is fantastic. And so I bet on him to success this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from Topeka, Kansas. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast. He works at True Media Networks, spreading the analytics gospel across North American sports and your favorite teams. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's Paul Carr, everybody. How you doing, Paul?
Morning, Gil. Thanks for the update on what Pedro Martinez is up to.
Yeah.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Who knew?
It's really a second life on clay in a different sport. It's incredible. Okay, right. Let me see if I get this right, if I got this right. Man City wins last week. Liverpool and Arsenal lose.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for the outrights in the Premier League?
I mean, so City's now has a 2-point lead over both Arsenal and Liverpool with 6 games left. So before the weekend, City was plus money. I want to say close to plus 200, 150, 200 range. And now they're minus 250 to win the title. So Arsenal fans, like your valet, are, I'm sure, just they've packed up the season. They're already mailed it in.
Yeah. People, we should define valet. It's not like Jerome in the time, like Morris Day. It was like Jerome, and Jerome comes with a mirror. It's a valet who parks the cars downstairs at the building.
Yeah. Just Gil's producer, okay?
It's wait, so does this mean, because it's only, as you point out, it's only a 2-point lead, right? Man City, 2 points over Arsenal, Liverpool. Is the reason for that being such a prohibitive favorite because of remaining schedule?
Yeah, City has the easiest remaining schedule. I think there's also a narrative component to this, where everyone is just like, oh, City's finally back in first. This one's over. Arsenal's going to collapse again, and Liverpool's injuries are getting to them. And there's some truth to that. But I think a lot of it, again, is just the way that it happened. Like, if, say, City had lost last weekend and Arsenal and Liverpool won to close the gap to 2 points, we'd have a totally different story of, is City going to hang on? And they're looking shaky and things like that. But just because of the way the results have lined up, and there's something to momentum and how well a team is playing. But yeah, it's only 2 points. City won't run the table the rest of the way. Now, the margin for error is almost gone for Arsenal and Liverpool, which is why their odds are, I think, plus 400 and plus 500. But this is far from over with 6 games left.
Has Felica spiraled into depression? Is that what's happened with him as a Liverpool
guy? I haven't heard from him, so I just kind of assume so, because they're almost out of in the league. They went out of Europa League yesterday officially. So yeah, I hope Felica's okay.
Okay. We got two tomorrow. We got one on Sunday. You're in a bit of a heater again, aren't you, Paul?
A little bit. We're having a good run this year. We're up about 9 units for in 2024 between Premier League and Champions League here.
There you go. Very nice. All right, let's start with tomorrow's. What do you got?
All right, we're going to start with Brentford and Luton Town. So this is sort of a relegation battle. Luton Town's in 18th. Brentford's in 15th, 7 points ahead. But Brentford's really quite a bit better. They're 13 ahead in goal difference. And the underlying numbers, Brentford's actually in 7th place in expected goal difference, and Luton's in 19th, the difference of 34 goals. So that's basically a long way of saying Brentford has kind of been running badly this season, and Luton's a little lucky to be where they are right now. Brentford's just a much better team. Their attack's getting healthy. Ivan Toney should be back in the lineup for this one. And Luton's battling some injuries on the back line. Brentford's unbeaten 4 straight. You know, only one of those was a win, but they got decent draws against teams, you know, Manchester United, et cetera, that are, you know, roughly the same level as they are. So I like Brentford just going to Luton Town and getting a win here, plus 120.
Ooh, and then a rare Paul Carr occurrence, a second bet on the same match. What do you got?
Yeah, that's not something I normally do, but I think the lineup, the odds and the script all line up nicely for this one. I also like the over 3.5 in this game. We talked about Luton having injuries on the back line. They've given up the second most goals in the league this season and the most expected goals. They also give up good shots in general, and Brentford, one of the most patient teams at waiting for those good shots. Luton has scored in 12 straight home games, so that helps you get there on the over. And Brentford has conceded 11 goals in their last 4 away games. So I think all this adds up to me about a 3-1 Brentford win. And you know, this is kind of your old saying, I forget who says it on the show, if you must win, you must not be very good. And I think that's kind of where Luton Town is here. They're in the relegation battle. They need to win, but they're just not that good. So Brentford win. Over 3.5. The over 3.5 is at minus 140 or plus 140.
The origin of that phrase is Dr. Bob. If you are in a must-win situation, you must not be that good. And then when I quote him on that to his face, he says, actually, Gil, that's not exactly what I said. And then he gives a paragraph-long explanation that that's exactly the same meaning, but is not nearly a good enough nugget. And I'm like, no, Bob, if it's a must-win situation, you must not be that good. Let's just go with that.
Legend, right. Not pioneer.
That's right. Don't call him a pioneer. But legend apparently is accepted. Okay, so Brentford win against Luton Town, which is a plus money. And in the same game, Luton Town, Brentford over 3.5 goals, which is a little more plus money. So it all fits the same script. Paulie with the rare 2 plays in 1 on Saturday, tomorrow. Sunday, then, you have another total.
Yeah, we've talked about it the last few weeks. You can get over 2.5 in almost any Premier League game, close to even money. I would take it. And that's what I'm doing for Everton, Nottingham Forest, over 2.5, minus 110. Now, this is a relegation scrap. It's the classic 6-pointer, as they say. So sure, could this be a 0-0, 1-0, everyone trying not to blow it type of game? I guess. But Forest has not been parking the bus and trying to scrape out points. The last 3 games have had at least 4 goals total. And goals, like we said, they're just up this whole season. 3.2 per game on the whole over the course of the season, up 14% from last year, which was already the highest scoring Premier League season in the last 15 years. So we've talked through some of the reasons, but I think this will just be almost a typical Premier League game. And if you can get minus 110 on an over 2.5, I would jump on that. So that's what I've got here for Everton, Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, this does have relegation implications. The teams that finish in the last three positions in the Premier League get relegated. Right now, Luton Town is the top of those three teams, if you will, in 18th place with 25 points. These two teams, Everton and Nottingham Forest, have 27 and 26 respectively, though Nottingham Forest does have an extra game to play, I believe. So there's that. But yes, definitely relegation implications here. I'm going to spring this on you. We didn't say we were going to talk about this, but I'm curious. The Olympics are later this year. It's late summer. It's July.
Yeah.
I think you and I have only been together for one Olympics, and maybe that was a pandemic year also, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Do you get into Olympic soccer?
Olympics, yes, is the short answer. On the men's side, it's a little different because it's officially a under-23 competition, and you get to pick three overage players. So who those overage players are is obviously very important. You know, and will any big stars, even some under 23 guys, may not get released by their clubs because they're not required to by FIFA. So like this week, the French president asked Real Madrid or PSG to release Kylian Mbappe for the Olympics because the Olympics are in France. He's the big star. I doubt they'll do it, but these are the X factors.
Wow.
When you're looking at it from a betting angle, it's really hard to put any sort of money on this in advance because you just don't know who's going to be on the team. The women is a little more straightforward and a little more fun because it's essentially a World Cup with all the major players. Everyone's there. It's just like a normal senior tournament. But
so
the men's is tough.
So that's really interesting. So the men's side really does come down to who allows whom to play.
Right.
And generally speaking, are the club teams like, oh, heck no, we're not letting you play with it. You know, we're not letting player
for
X
senior
play.
Stars.
Yeah.
Senior stars. Definitely. You might remember in 2016 when the Olympics were in Brazil, Neymar was released by his club because that was just such a big deal, but that took some negotiating, but it worked out. Brazil ended up winning the gold medal, but that's more the exception than the rule. But that's what France is trying to get to happen. At least the president's trying to make that happen this year. We'll see.
Well before the fact, but does the U.S. have any chance of meddling? Any chance?
Yeah, they've, you know, again, it depends a lot on who they send. They have several young stars that may or may not be on the team. But yeah, they're in a tough group with France. But, you know, they've got as good a shot. These youth tournaments can be a bit of a crapshoot.
Okay. Paul Carr, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on the Twitter machine. We appreciate it, man.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. All his picks, by the way, in case you miss it, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest on the network, no matter the sport. VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. NBA next, including exactas on the way on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free.
Just
sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see all the changes in the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can juxtapose those two against each other. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Take advantage. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter baseball bets and baseball bets, you know, not exclusively, but all kinds of bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Kelly. Trust the glove. LeBron must have sponsored the ESPN segment all morning on him and his greatness. They only left out the kiss and the dinner. I guess they're showing a lot of LeBron. Bill Hooker. Schefter using vague language about the number 2 pick because that's how he rolls. He's Captain Obvious. Well, you know, he's not a draft insider necessarily.
Yep.
Mike Stacks.
That is true. Just NFL reporter.
Just NFL reporter. Mike Stacks. I agree 100 with you on Daniels going to Washington. This team gives me Texans vibes from last year, and they'll have the 13th easiest strength of schedule this coming year. Washington wins division plus 750. Also like worst to first. Well, Mikey Stacks, you've gone even further than I would. Teasers and parlays. Didn't have the Morris Day Jerome reference on the bingo card. I could see Kelly holding the mirror for Gil during commercial breaks. So much more than a producer. Should I do the Guardians real quick here before we do NBA?
We actually could use a mirror. Often I just have Matt like zoom in on my face if I need to like look at something.
By the way, it's a big day at Bar Canada. We have our sign. that says, we actually have a sign that says live broadcast in progress. This area not available for public use. So that will deter the riffraff right there. Because before that, our security measure was Kelly going like this. Stop right there. That was our big thing.
Yeah, that did work a couple times.
Kelly, he winds up. There it is. There's a live shot of our live broadcast in progress sign.
Hey, those took a few months to design and get ready. Okay? Wait, this is a big day.
What's the QR code for?
I'm assuming it brings you right to VSiN.com.
Believe me, that it's blocked in our shot there. It says listen live now at VSiN.com. There you go.
Yeah, for as much as we've talked about doing shows in this area, it's the we don't blame anybody, but you get a lot of the people just wondering what we're doing over
that's
here.
That's correct.
So that's where the Kelly Halt usually works.
That's right.
But yes, this makes it a little easier because maybe you actually want to listen in to hear what we're saying and watch us and stuff.
Look at that.
Use the QR code, go to VSiN.com.
All right, Guardians bet. Guardians win yesterday at Fenway. They took the 3 out of 4 in that series against Boston. So right now, this is for those who have piled on the March-April most wins market in baseball, which I made pre-flop before the season. And again, shout out to Circa for having this market. Most wins, Major League Baseball, March and April. Remember, there was a few games to begin March. And so the Guardians win. They are now 13-6. They are tied with the Yankees for the most wins in baseball. The Yankees are also 13-6. As you see on this graphic, we will throw up right here. I just threw in run differential and one run records just to torture myself. The real column that matters in addition to the record, obviously, and the wins is the games left on the right. So the Yankees have two more games to be played before the end of April. Now, remember, one of the deficit of the two there for the Guardians is that they got a game taken from them by rain in Minnesota. So that game looms large over us here. And as I like to say also, it's not enough to track the wins. You're trying to also track which team controls its own destiny. And right now, the Yankees are in the driver's seat in that category. But there are four other teams that control their destiny before the Guardians do also, which is the Braves, the Royals, the Brewers, not pictured with 11 games, but also with 2 games in pocket. And then the Orioles also would tie. We're just using a bizarro exercise if each of these teams won out in terms of just controlling their destiny. Still a lot of games for that to play in. But right now, the Guardians, 13-6 with the Yankees. We're looking good, but we're not as good as we can look. If you're on this bet with me, we do have the 3 games against Oakland begin today. That was obviously part of the calculus. Schedule was a huge part of this. I think if, you know, let's just play it out. If they go 0-3, bet's over. They go 1-2, it's probably over. They go 2-1, we're still talking about this on Monday into the final week of the bet. And if they go 3-0, which is what you're hoping for here, they probably control their own destiny at that point. Here's what I also did before, just to give the anatomy of a bet. I went through every series before the bet started, every series that the Guardians had starting in March through April 30th. And what I put on the left was, this is what I think they need to go. Here's the path, right? The predicted path is the left column. And what's actually happened is on the right column. So far, Kelly, pretty dead on. Pretty dead on. I had them going 4-0 versus Oakland in the path. They ended up going 3-1, botching a game where they had first and third in a tie game in the eighth, where they ran themselves into an out. So you're already one behind the path there. They matched on Seattle. I had them going 2-1. They went 2-1. Minnesota's where we lost the game. I had them going 2-1 at Minnesota. They went 2-0 instead. One game deficit in the White Sox, projected versus actual. Then a 1-game deficit again in the Yankee series. Umpiring had a lot to do with that in game one, but a great Guardians comeback. So really, that was a wash. So, and then 3-1 is what I had to project them at Fenway, and that's exactly what they did. So basically, the left column, I projected 23-7 would win this for us. We're not going to get 30 games. We're going to get 29 now. So 22-7, I think, wins it. Right now, they're 13-6. Could they win it with 21-8? Maybe. But I guess the point being that the margin of error is still so slim. But we got a shot.
I got a couple comments here. First of all, Matt, if you can retake that graphic real quick. I didn't realize that the Guardians logo has two G's. So Gil's Guardians. That Gil's really Guardians. Works out really well.
I'm just borrowing them for a month, Adam Burke.
You got the G wings on either side of the baseball. So Gil's Guardians works out really well.
Got an email from the Giants yesterday wondering where I've been in the March of April.
Oh, really?
They're like, hey, where have you been? never mind. Yeah. I'll be back in May.
Yeah. The other thing is, I've now gotten to the point with this where I set up score notifications on my phone for the Guardians. So,
oh, thank you.
When this bet gets home, I expect a Bacon Nation omelet breakfast or something like that. Okay.
No, I'll get a great dive. I want to.
Don't worry, I wasn't going to say sushi out there, people. Okay, I'd have to do something a whole lot more for that. All I did was set up score notifications.
This is from Big O ATX. He says, "I don't get to listen to Gil as often as I used to or would like to, but after listening to the preseason pod, I find myself rooting for the Guardians every day, even if it doesn't come all the way home. What a bet." Thank you, Big O ATX. I appreciate that tweet very much. And really, this is the reason why we put it up there is there is something very nice about month-long bets, right? It's not like a daily, it's not like a year-long futures. Right. It's such a sweet spot of a time period where you can really harness it. And so just to let you know, this was the calculus that went into this. And so hopefully, again, 65-1 are the odds that I got it at. It's Circa. Shout out to Circa for putting this up. 10 games left for Los Guardianos, for those speaking in Spanish. NBA exactas, Kelly. NBA exactas. Have you bet? You bet a couple of these, right?
I have bet a couple of these. It's fascinating. I think it's been, we first brought it up probably like in December or January, just about a lot of what we did with the Niners in the NFL. I think you have the opportunity with the Celtics here in the Eastern Conference. So I added, I think January was the first time I added one, and that was the Thunder with the Celtics. So I have the Celtics over the Thunder at 40-1. Now, these are tricky right now. They have, I feel like since end of December, beginning of January, depending on shop, these have been up and down, sometimes down for multiple weeks because I think the books are not idiots either. They know that there's some value in tying some of these in.
They're aware of injuries.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, look, I think now we're resetting at the playoffs. I thought they were interesting to look at, especially if you're watching at home, you can see how the Celtics are involved in, what is that, seven different combinations at the just to start? Eight?
Eight. Nine.
Nine. Before we get to Nuggets. That's over right. Sixers. So I did put in one recently. You see, if you're watching at home, you see Mavericks over Celtics at 30-1. I found a 40-1 here in town. Gil, I did add that. The problem was the Celtics over the Mavericks, which you would like to do because you should be thinking you're going to be able to get a little bit of plus money on a series price, right, if you hit the finals with whatever Western Conference opponent it is. Ideally, you want to bet the Celtics one if you're not betting both, but the Celtics over the Mavericks was like 20-1. 20-1 when I just bet a Mavericks outright at like 19-1. So that didn't make much sense to me to add that one as well. So I did those, but I do think shop around. I think this is the perfect example of, like I bring this up with golf a lot, of the Scottie Scheffler. Like you could bet the outright markets, but compare them to the winner without markets. If you're digging into futures, for the NBA at this time of year, to win the NBA Finals, I would be comparing some of the prices to these exactas as well.
If someone came to you today and said, "Oh, this is great, Kelly. I like this. I want to bet an exacta, but here's what I'm going to do: I'm put one unit on Celtics over Nuggets, and another unit on Nuggets over Celtics, 5-1 and +650." What would you say to them?
I don't think it's a bad bet.
That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad bet. And I feel like Gil's going to do it.
Just kind of, what's that?
I feel like Gil's going to do that.
I feel like he might. It's like we're talking about him like he's not here. Oh, that's me. We'll come back. Nick Whalen on all the NBA series and these elimination games tonight. That's next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. We got this tweet from, by the way, Topher Barron has decided to bet some tennis, and I think it's going well for him this morning. Good for you, Topher. Hope it works out. Jason H11. When the ginger ninja puts the hand up, step back. He's talking about what I was talking about before we had this sign. Our big security was Kelly going halt. With his hand. Halt. And he called you the ginger ninja. And can I just shout you out for people who are with us every morning and see you on camera, much like I see you in person. We don't notice it because we're with you every day because it's imperceptible. But you have lost how much weight?
About 30 pounds since middle of December.
Good for you, man.
I'd like to say thanks, but I'd also like to shout out the pharmaceutical companies out there.
Sure.
I'm on the old Wegovy right now, and it's working quite well.
So I will not be seeing you like running Forrest Gump style through Las Vegas. Yeah. That's not what's happening.
What I like to tell people is if you watch Always Sunny with Philadelphia, if you know the scene where Mac is just injecting himself with insulin while eating a big burrito, that's kind of like me still. Like, yes, the exercise has increased. I'm eating a little better.
Yeah.
But oh boy, do drugs help, that's for sure.
Good for you, man.
Thanks. I
hope you feel better.
we were laughing about that.
do you feel better?
I've never been one of those people. Like, people lose 5 pounds and they're like, I feel so much better. I've got so much more energy. I'm like, I don't feel exactly the same.
Good for you, man.
I drink like a pot of coffee.
Keep on going, morning, so as they say.
I always
got
energy, right?
You have a goal weight? You have a goal weight?
No. Yeah, a lot more.
Okay, a lot more. this man has never had a weight problem, I'm guessing. From RotoWire, it's our buddy Nick Whalen, who you can follow on Twitter, one of the great Twitter handles. It's Whalen, but he replaces the L with a 1. Senior analyst at RotoWire and a host, of course, at SiriusXM NBA, joins us to talk NBA playoffs. It's your time of year, Nick. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well, man. This is one of the best sports weekends on the calendar. I always say that. And I think you have to be pretty in the weeds in the NBA to put this on your Mount Rushmore. Obviously, there are a lot of other candidates, but that opening weekend of the playoffs where you get 4 games back to back to back to back Saturday, same thing on Sunday. And especially this year, guys, where it doesn't feel like we have, you know, that series that you just don't want to pay attention to, right? You know, maybe if the Bulls end up beating the Heat tonight and we get Bulls Celtics in round one, yeah, you could probably skip that one. I know a lot of people would point to Cavs Magic. Yeah, maybe it won't be the most exciting series, but I think it's going to be really competitive. We have so much parity in both conferences. So I'm really, really excited to get these playoffs going.
Yeah, to your point, I usually say, I mean, the first round is interminable. Do we really need a best of seven? But this comes to from our buddy Blake over at sportsoddshistory.com. He said this year, there are 5 first round NBA series prices where the favorite is less than minus 200. Going back to 1988, the previous most was 3 series done 7 times. We still need 2 more series prices, but this would be the lowest average price for the favorite for a first round on record. So there you go. Wow. Quantifying it there. And obviously he's right. We don't have 2 series prices. Let's start before we get to the ones that are intact. Anything in the elimination games tonight?
Yeah, I got a few spots here, and you know, I think the headliner for both games, unfortunately, is the injuries, right? No Jimmy Butler for Miami and no Zion Williamson for New Orleans. So I think that makes this a more difficult evaluation. We'll have to wait and see on Alex Caruso, who there seems to be a little bit more optimism that he'll be able to go now as opposed to 24 hours ago, but he's going to end up being a game time call. I think without Jimmy Butler, the Bulls, we have to acknowledge it. They have a real chance here, right? They looked impressive the other night against Atlanta, but I still think I would take Miami to win this game. They are 1.5-point favorites at home tonight. We have to keep in mind, Chicago shot 57% from the field the other night. They got an all-time game out of Kobe White. They had 2 other starters score 20-plus. They had Ayu Dosunmu have one of his best scoring and efficiency games of the entire season, and it was still a relatively close game, right? It's like if Atlanta gets a marginally better effort out of Trae Young, there's a chance that they still could have stolen that. So I do kind of look at Wednesday night as almost a best case scenario for Chicago. And now you're going up against a significantly more difficult opponent on the defensive end, especially. Miami was number 2 in defense over the final 15 games of the regular season. So I do think there might be a course correction coming tonight for the Chicago Bulls. On the prop side of things, I like Tyler Hero over 3.5 threes. I don't know if I'm going to take his points prop all the way up to 25.5. Obviously, he took a ton of shots the other night. You removed Jimmy Butler. You think that volume should sustain. Chicago has given up a ton of threes all season long. They've done a decent job of defending them, but in terms of volume, you know, on the year, they've been number 1 in the NBA in terms of 3-point attempts allowed to opponents. So I like Hero over 3.5 made threes tonight. And I'm also looking at Bam Adebayo over 32.5 points plus rebounds. Wasn't good the other night against Philly, but this should be a much better matchup for Bam. He went well over this number in both of his matchups against Chicago earlier this season. He did miss 2 of their 4 games. And keep in mind, guys, these teams have not played each other somehow since mid-December. They played 4 times in the span of less than a month early in the year. So there is a little bit of unfamiliarity there, I should say. And then in the Pelicans-Kings game, I still think New Orleans has a chance here. We can't completely write them off without Zion, but I think we'll know pretty early, right? We're going to know, all right, is the Zion injury just completely taking the wind out of their sails? And a lot of it's going to come down to, does Brandon Ingram look remotely like himself, which he did not the other night against the Lakers. He did not against the Lakers in game 82 of the regular season when he came back from injury. I'm staying away from Brandon Ingram props. I'm looking at Trey Murphy over 3.5 threes. You're getting that at plus 100 tonight. He's gone over this number in 12 of his last 25 games, which is pretty good for a part-time starter. And you know, you're taking Zion Williamson out of the mix. He had a 40% usage rate the other night, guys. That was his second highest in any game this season. So there will be shots available for guys like Trey Murphy. Toying with the idea of maybe buying low on CJ McCollum after that terrible game on Tuesday. You can get his points prop at 23.5 tonight. It's so tough because he looked terrible against the Lakers. But prior to that game, he'd averaged 27 points per game in his last 13. And again, you know, you take Zion Williamson out of the mix, you think some of those shots trickle down to CJ McCollum. And lastly, guys, one sneaky spot I'm looking at tonight over at DraftKings, Jonas Valanciunas double-double is plus 135. Now, if you follow the Pelicans, you know Valanciunas' minutes have been all over the place. You know, they've kind of taken him out of the rotation at times, but he played a season-high 33 minutes against Sacramento when they met just over a week ago, his most in any game this season, of course. He has a double-double in all five matchups against the Sacramento Kings this season. And as you know, the Pelicans are 5-0 in those matchups.
And the Heat, by the way, 13-9 straight up without Jimmy Butler this year, should be pointed out as well. Normally, Nick, I would go one by one through each of the six series that are intact already and that we know are starting this weekend. Four already scheduled for tomorrow and two on a Sunday. Obviously, that will be filled up on Sunday by the end of tonight. Without, in the interest of time, instead of going one by one, you tell me what your favorite ones are here, either in terms of a series price or in a game one play.
You know, in terms of series price, guys, the one that I feel like I'm starting to zag on a little bit because everybody I talk to and listen to seems to be on the Philadelphia 76ers, I'm back at the New York Knicks in round one to win this series. It's now minus 110 either way. And, you know, I understand why Philly opened as a favorite, but do we really trust Joel Embiid? I'm not sure I do. I don't think Joel Embiid looked like himself the other night in that win over Miami. I thought he looked completely winded. He looked completely tired. That knee didn't look quite right in the second half. And even if you take that concern out of it, guys, at what point in Joel Embiid's career has he ever played remotely close to an MVP level in the postseason, right? I think it was 2 years ago, he averaged like 10 fewer points per game in the postseason compared to the regular season. I think the way that officiating has changed throughout the season, I don't think that benefits Joel Embiid. I think he's still going to get more calls than anybody, but he's not going to get the same type of calls he was when he was at his peak and healthy earlier this year. I know there's no Julius Randle for the New York Knicks. I don't know if that's that big of a deal, especially in round one. It's like, yeah, maybe that hurts their ceiling a little bit, but they've been just fine without Julius Randle, who also, by the way, has not been a very good playoff performer throughout his career. So I know everybody just wants to say, all right, Philly, they're a dangerous seven seed. They, you know, they're probably more like a two or a three seed at heart. I think the Knicks win the series, guys.
What were you just telling me off air?
I don't think there are enough people in the NBA community and even betting community making enough of what they saw out of Joel Embiid the other night. I completely agree with you. I mean, I've got 76ers futures in pocket, but I am loaded up pretty heavy on the Knicks side in game one. And maybe Joel Embiid returns, you know, gets back to form middle of the series. I could see that happening. As of right now, though, we're heading into game one. I could completely co-sign everything you just said.
Well, the other thing with Philly, guys, is they don't really have a third option, right? I mean, I guess it's supposed to be Tobias Harris, but he was terrible the other night, right? It's like D'Anthony Melton's been banged up. He's just not really a part of the mix right now. They got bailed out by Nick Batum. Like, they don't win that game unless Nick Batum plays the way he did the other night against Miami. And the Heat didn't even play well, right? It's like Philly was, I think, in a lot of ways lucky to win that game. And you can't depend on Nick Batum to be your third guy in a series like this. And, you know, the Knicks don't have a ton of depth, but I don't think that matters in the playoffs. They're really going to play six and a half guys who play really well together. So I think people are going to be surprised when the New York Knicks get off to a good start in the series.
I need a 5-second answer, Nick. Who's in the finals?
I'm going to cop out and say Denver, Boston, guys, but Dallas is the team that I'm keeping an eye on to knock them off.
That seems to be a very consensus NBA expert thought right there. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. Great seeing you, man.
Hey, anytime, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire. How about some UFL next with our own Stormy Bonnet Tony? That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.